TIC Productions presents India's premier Bollywood podcast. You're listening to Bollywood Weekly. Hello everyone and welcome to a Bollywood Weekly episode where we're going to try something different. This is your host Aditya and I have with me Mansha.
Hi Pish, how are you?
Good, good. And the thing we're going to try that is different is we're going to launch a new format of the show, which we're going to call Bollywood Weekly Catch-Up, where we are going to effectively not cover a movie that has just released in theaters, but cover a movie that has released at some point in the last few weeks or months or up to a year, I guess, which for whatever reason we have not covered on the podcast. There are a couple of reasons for this. One is that we are simply unable to cover every single movie that comes out because of various circumstances, including the fact that there are weeks where multiple movies release and a lot of the smaller and lower budget movies don't get an extended run in screens. So if we miss them one week, they might be gone the next. So we're going to use this format to make sure that we actually cover all of these movies and also to make sure that if there is a week where, you know, we are not able to, when I say we, I basically mean me, but when I'm not able to catch the movie that did release in that week, there is no break in the podcast in terms of getting you guys your content, getting you guys your episodes. So we will continue to have a steady stream of episodes. Even if we miss a movie here and there, we will catch up with a movie that we watch on Netflix or on Prime Video, or do some kind of a special episode, or we're going to experiment with a whole bunch of new and different formats as well. So stay tuned for that. But okay. So, you know, hope you like the format and let us know what you think.
Please note, Pish just woke up and it's 8 a.m.
Thank you for that, Mansha. I don't think there was a reason for that to be revealed, but fine. If I sound groggy or if I sound... I assume that is the reason.
I just wanted people to realize that you sound pretty groggy.
I see. This is how hard I work. That's what she means. That's really what she means. Today's episode will be about Lipstick Under My Burqa, which I watched on Amazon Prime Video. Let's just get right into it. I'm very confused about what to think of this movie. What were your thoughts?
So, you're familiar with all the controversy, right?
Yeah,
with the movie
of course.
And the delayed release. Okay, cool. So, I actually really enjoyed just watching it. There were a few issues I had with the movie. Some parts of it I wasn't like totally satisfied with. But I just enjoyed how unconventional a lot of the frames were.
Yeah.
Like, I think I was just not used to it. And that like surprised me in a positive way. So, a few things I really liked. One, I just liked the concept of, you know, having these four stories adjacent to each other, but kind of talking about similar things.
Yeah.
I think it's important because it's not like some big climax that ever happens or some huge storyline.
Yeah, and I like the way that, you know, they didn't try to like force fit a connection between the four of them. Like, they just happened to...
Yeah, it was very
correct.
Natural.
They just happened to live in the same building. Like, occasionally they cross paths. But that's about it. I think the last part at the end is the only time four of them actually all together are in the frame and having a conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, few things I absolutely loved. I thought the acting was fantastic. I thought it was very captivating. Ratna Pathak and Kokana Sen Sharma, I'm more familiar with. The other two I'm not. And I thought they did a really good job. So definitely like that. And I also liked how it was like, you know, it took place in a small town. And you see like this dichotomy between like, you know, globalization and like
a
lot of
these. That was really nice.
Values like held dear to like, you know, at least the patriarchal society. So I found that really interesting.
Yeah, too. And it was somehow that part actually came across in a more realistic way. Like, even if you look at commercial Bollywood, a lot of movies are also depicted in small towns, like Bareilly Ki Barfi just recently, and even like a Badrinath Ki Duldaniya. But like, somehow those settings like feel manufactured. Like, it feels very unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Whereas this one feels pretty authentic in terms of the way people are, the way people react to things, the way people behave. So that was nice. In terms of acting, I think Ratna Pathak and Konkana were great. Ahana Kumra and Plabitha were a bit inconsistent, I felt. And that's kind of understandable given where they are in the stages of their careers.
But they're theatre actors. Like, Ahana's a theatre actor.
Yeah, I mean, she's done a few TV and movies and stuff. But I think the biggest this thing was, like, the reason I said at the start I'm confused about this film is that I felt like it was very inconsistent. Like, there were some scenes where I was like completely engrossed and I was like, wow, this is so well done. And then there were some scenes that I felt were really just amateurishly executed and written, especially the college related sequences. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily her, like not Pravita's character, Rehana, but all the people around her just felt like caricatures and very predictable tropes without really any depth.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, I can see what you're saying in terms of, like, everyone except for those four had, like even the husband, and then, like, I can see that. I do wonder if, like, there's an argument to be made about how you have these very typical, like, movies that are made, like, you know, where the hero is the male, like the main character protagonist is a male, and then you have, you know, your actresses essentially caricatures, you know, like, there is that, like, we're just not used to just seeing that. I think this concept where, like, the woman has the arc but then the male doesn't.
So that is a valid point, and I think that's just worth calling out. The thing about this movie that's great is exactly that it concept level and at a story level, it places the four women and the lead characters very much in the center. There's very little that distracts you from their stories, and it kind of, you know, inverts all the rules of movies that we're used to seeing regarding to gender roles and all of that in a good way. But I still felt like, you know, certain things were just very convenient. Like, for example, when Ratna Pathak's character, Buaji, so, you know, her character is an relatively older woman who is still trying to, who still kind of has certain dreams and ambitions that she hasn't quite fulfilled and is re-exploring her sexuality. And so she starts up this kind of illicit relationship, not really a relationship, but it's like a relationship over the phone with her swimming instructor, where she pretends to be, you know, this character from this erotic book that she's reading, and they have phone sex, but in a much less crude way than that. I don't know how else to describe it, but when she first calls him, the first time she actually says something to him, he's just like very happy to strike up a conversation with this random girl and just like, you know, figure it out. So like, it's like, I don't know if it's to prove a point of the arrogance of men, like they will just assume girls will call them for whatever reason.
But do you find that unbelievable? I guess this is a question, because I've actually heard stories like that.
Yeah, so maybe part of it is just my ignorance and male privilege at not having ever been in these situations. But I found, like, I could not really relate to that or believe that could actually happen. Unlike with Ratna Pathak's character, actually, I thought hers was her arc was the, both from a content level and the way it flows, was the best and most interesting of the four. That was the only part of it which I felt was kind of like a bit forced. Everything else was done really well.
Yeah. No, I could see that. I think there were a few things I thought like were like unrealistic. So something I found unrealistic is, what's her name? Not Hannah.
Plabitha.
The other one. I keep forgetting her name. Yeah. So what I found really unrealistic is how she lives a conservative life with all these rules, but her parents just don't enter her room with, you know, like, I just found that really confusing to me. Like, she can live this life, like, in her room. She just, like, hides, like, something over one cloth. Like, that stuff like that was just, like, a bit weird. Like, I find that really hard to believe. And then the other thing was, I thought a lot of things were like unnecessary with the shoplifting. Like, I can see why they needed to have it, but that part, and then the beauticians, Ahana's mother, like, you know, that storyline just felt a little bit like unnecessary. Yeah. But like, I don't know if I felt it with any of those were like unrealistic. Like, maybe the Prabhita's storyline a little bit here and there, but it was difficult for me, like, just especially like the exposure I've had to like assume something's realistic or not. Does that make sense? Like, I couldn't like get myself to like just call out those things, just because I'm also quite ignorant in that sense.
The, like, when you mentioned another thing I was going to say is, like, there's also just like, and this may sound like a weird thing to say, but there's just like way too much sex in the movie for like no reason at all. And so when the trailer came out, right?
Oh, the second trailer or the first?
The second trailer, with after the controversy and everything, which starts with the newspaper clippings and stuff.
Yeah.
We had a joke in the office that Ekta Kapoor has just cut this trailer herself, literally. It's just like all controversy, all sex, and that's it. And I felt like with Konkana, her character also, there's like a lot of scenes with her having sex. But for her character, it actually serves a purpose, because, and it's actually really, those scenes are actually really powerful, because it basically talks about marital rape and how her husband just feels like, you know, because she's his wife, he can do whatever he wants. And it helps establish that relationship and show how it progresses, you know. And spoiler alert, sorry, even at the end, there's no resolution of that, which I thought that was really nice. But with Ahana, she's just like horny and is just like always having sex. I felt
but I can see why that's like weird to watch. But at the same time, we're so used to like seeing so many male characters liking sex. And I think something that they were trying to like get at is like, there are women who enjoy sex, and that's like something they were just, I guess, yes, they maybe were being in your face about it, but I think the reason why it was more uncomfortable is just, it's not normal to see a woman, Indian woman, loving sex so much.
No, that's like, fair. And I had no problem with them showing that she loves sex or that she's always doing that. But I felt like there were no scenes, unless there were no scenes where her and Vikrant Masi were in the frame, just the two of them, where there was no sex. Like, I felt like a lot of parts, especially like in the second half of the film when they aren't quite together and they keep going back and forth, which could have been delivered and established without them having sex.
But the big basis of their relationship was that sexual relationship, right?
Yes and no, right? Because they keep hinting towards, you know, meri shaadi ho rahi hai and do you not even love me enough to try to stop it. So that's the thing. It felt in between for me, because they established pretty early on that her introduction to a character is like at her engagement to some other dude, where Vikrant Masi is the photographer, and then they go and have sex. That scene is really nice. Although I felt it, because then at the end, her mother or whatever walks in on her and slaps her. That scene is quite powerful, has impact, although I felt it came and went really quickly. There was no follow-up or conclusion to it. But you establish right then and there that, you know, she's been engaged or being forced to marry against her will.
Mm-hmm.
And hence she's like acting out to prove a point. Not to prove a point, but like she has this other guy in her life and she's going to be with him no matter what. So I was always waiting for the fact that they're going to run away or they're going to do something. But that happens like really late in the film, because there's whole angle of them trying to start their wedding scheme together also keeps happening, which I found slightly distracting.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I'm like, honestly, when I think about it, I actually don't think there was that much sex, because I'm just remembering three main sex scenes.
Maybe because I just watched it, they're like fresh in my mind. But
maybe I also watched it, but like the three main sex scenes I remember is like the first, the what you just mentioned.
Yeah.
One, two, when she comes to meet him after, like, I think she comes, she's like, he's in his bed or whatever, and she comes and she's trying to basically make up with him.
Yeah.
And then the third is when she's trying to have sex with her fiance. I mean, she's actually she's not successful.
Correct.
But her fiance wants to wait and she's like, but why?
Hmm.
There might be one more.
There were at least one or two more with Vikrant Masi earlier on. But for example, right, even that scene. So And obviously, like now, like this is kind of nitpicking. But right. at like that, the second scene you mentioned where she goes to make up with him, right? So
yeah.
she goes and she like gets into bed with him and starts like kissing him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she says this dialogue about, meri shaadi ho gayi hai, and you're not even going to like try to stop it mm-hmm. and whatever. And they start kissing like there, right? So when you have that, you've already established that she is someone who's forward and she likes sex. Mm-hmm. And you're also with that dialogue helping the plot move forward. But then for the next 5 minutes, the conversation and the thing that they have is all happening in the bathroom while they're mm-hmm. having sex or trying to have sex. I felt mm-hmm. like that wasn't really necessary because I like it just from a visual point of view, it just like took my attention away from like what they were actually saying. And it's a pretty important part of the movie in terms of their narrative. So my issue was not necessarily that there was too much sex, even mm-hmm. though I know I phrased it that way. My point was like mm-hmm. there were scenes which could have been done without the sex, and the sex distracted mm-hmm. me from what was the important part of, you know, what was happening.
Mm. I see. Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Which is why I didn't have an issue with, you know, Konkana or even Ratna Pathak when they show her, you know, in the bathroom on the phone and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that, I felt, that was like directly linked to the story and had yeah. some point.
Yeah. Something else I really liked, and I don't know if you noticed this, like, you know when they were, when the movie started and there was this, like, character called Rosie, and there's this narration mm-hmm. that kept happening?
Yeah.
Like, I was so confused initially, but I really liked how, like, it all made sense.
Correct.
Like, you know, when she's reading the book.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was really well done. I've not seen that happen very often in Hindi movies. Like, I've seen it in, like, a couple of TV shows over here.
Mm.
Like, something similar like that.
Yeah.
But I thought that was, like, a really interesting technique. I don't know what that technique is called, if it's called something.
Yeah, that was nice. So, I mean, like, I unfortunately, like, already, because I'd, like, read synopses and reviews and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I knew from the start, like, that's what the narration was. But I understand, like, that it would be a little confusing at the start. I also felt at the start that the narration part felt a little, forced, like it wasn't mm-hmm. necessarily always linked to what was happening on screen, even though they tried to make that happen. But on the whole, I think, like, it worked pretty well.
Yeah. I honestly was really disturbed by the scenes with Konkana.
Yeah.
Like, it was actually very disturbing for me. Like, it's not like I don't know that marital rape is a reality.
Hmm.
But just seeing that whole situation was just extremely disturbing. And I think it was also, but in some ways, like, important to have something like that on screen. So I really did like that angle.
Yeah, I think her, like, both performance-wise, like, even I think Sushant Singh is the guy's name,
mm-hmm.
And her both played their roles to perfection, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got there's that one scene with the cake where she's trying to tell him about her job, and she keeps trying to give him a cake that she's made out of microwave. And the reason mm-hmm. the microwave came is because she, like, won, she got a best, like, sales girl of the month or year award from her company. Yeah. And he doesn't know that she works. So that whole scene is really nice, where, like, you first show her, like, rehearsing what she's going to say to him. And yeah. then, you know, she tries to give him cake at the table, and he gets pissed off because, like, their kid dropped something on him. And then in the bedroom, she keeps trying to give him cake. And he's just, like, in his own world, doesn't listen at all to what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the end, he's like, give me the remote.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And she takes the remote and hands it to him. And then he just takes her hand and puts it, like,
ugh.
And, like, that was yeah. just...
That was so disturbing for me. Yeah. You have, like, no idea. I was, like appalled when I saw that scene. It was, like, super powerful, but really, like, appalling.
Yeah. So, like, her parts were just, I think, performance-wise, I think her parts, her scenes were executed the best, and her kind of whole story.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the whole cigarette smoking part of it. Like, I know there's been a lot of, like, I feel like there have been comments made about, like, haven't we gone past this whole concept that smoking cigarettes is, like, liberating? Like, why do we have to show, you know, when they're trying to be liberated, they're smoking cigarettes? Did you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I mean, even on What the Folks, which is our like web series that Dice Media has put out, we've gotten a lot of comments and feedback on a similar thing where the younger character is like shown smoking weed and she's doing that as like an escape from like her parents. And you're like, oh, why are you showing this as like a positive thing and you're normalizing it and stuff? The thing is, so my point of view, which I know many people don't share, is that you're not necessarily trying to promote it or show it in that way, but it's a depiction of reality. So with Savita's character, right, when she goes to college, her entire college world and the characters that she sees is her definition of what freedom and what liberation is. So she sees people wearing jeans or dressing up or protesting or you know, being able to hold hands with a guy and kiss someone like in the middle of a nightclub. So to me, like, you know, the way I say it is she just does it because she can. Like, she has the ability to make her own choices and either like just try to fit in or try to just be herself. That's like how I interpreted it, and that's how I like came across. Like, it didn't come across to me as like, oh, smoke a cigarette, now you're free. Like, it never came across that way. So, I didn't have an issue with that.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, and I was saying, and like, you know, I think, like, you even see, you like, the one thing that she did really well is that you felt like you were with her. Like, you could see what she was thinking, what's going through her mind. And she had, like, her own personal boundaries. So, she was like, okay, let me try a cigarette. Like, when someone offers her a drag and she takes it and she, like, coughs. And she keeps trying to, like, cover up, being like, no, of course I smoke, blah, blah, because she thinks that's what people want to hear. But everyone is just like, okay, here, let me show you. Even when it comes to drinking, where she has a sip of the beer and the guy's like, oh, like, virgin, like, first time you're drinking. And she's like, no, no, of course not. But then, like, when it comes to kissing someone, initially she's not comfortable with it. Like, when, what's his face, Shashank Arora first makes a move on her, like, in the parking lot, she's like, no, I can't. So you can see her having that like process, but then later on in the film, she gets more comfortable with him and she does. So if like right at the start, she had been all kind of all out, oh, I'm going to drink, I'm going to smoke, I'm going to do this, then I would have been like, yeah, that's a bit, doesn't make sense. But the way it was shown, I felt it was subtle. I felt it was kind of like a depiction of reality in that people do whatever your parents typically tell you not to do are like the first things that make you feel liberated. So I don't think it's about smoking. Yeah. It's just about the fact that she has freedom to do things.
Yeah, so I agree. I actually think that people get into like this like argument when there's like this worry that you're going to promote.
Correct.
Also, because you're like, because in some ways, not really promote, but there is like a feminist message around like that in this movie.
Yeah.
So it's like, I guess the worry is like along with that message, you're tagging along this habit. But I think like purely as like a creative film, I think it's like it's exactly what you said. It is reality. Like, there's I mean, if someone is oppressed, there is going to be like some sort of outlet, and it's very common for those outlets to be in the form of smoking or drinking or whatever it may be. It's like very normal for those outlets to exist.
Correct.
But I think what tends to happen is like, because it's like, oh, this needs to be like a social message, there's always that worry that you've like tagged, you know, you've normalized this other thing, which should not be normalized.
Correct. And I mean, the problem is like, the problem that we have in India is that you and me are able to make this distinction.
Yeah.
But the mass audience is not necessarily kind of aware enough or able to just make that jump, or like, you know, smart enough to make that connection. Like, it's not a link between smoking and feminism, for example. is just about the freedom of choice and having a, you know, being able to do what you want without someone telling you what you want to do.
Yeah, so, or just a reaction to feeling like not free.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Cool. Anything else about this movie? Final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Like, I really... It was kind of, like, sad that it just got held up so much. Because I feel like because it got held up, then the second ad was, like, super, like, it just exploited the controversy to no end.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just because it could. And so, I guess I just hope, like, these sort of things don't get prolonged so much. Because basically it was released all over the world first.
Yeah.
I mean, not New York, but, like, it was first released in, like, random places in the Middle East. And it was, like, well-received there.
It's also, like, been in, like, various film festivals and stuff.
Exactly. So I just, like, the censor board, as usual, like, really needs to, like... Because, I mean, they're, like, giving, like, grand musti, like, passes. It's like, come on.
Yeah, I actually didn't... Apart from the actual depictions of sex, I didn't see anything in this movie that was, like, was anything less offensive than many other movies that have come out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, in fact, like you said, like, a movie like Great Grand Musti is way more damaging to society than this is.
Yeah,
because that's exactly. Just promoting misogyny and sexist stereotypes. Whereas this actually has a positive message. Yeah, so I think my overall view on the movie is, I think the topic and the concept is a very important one. So it's great that a movie like this got made. You know, I obviously can't quite relate to the subject matter of the movie. So, like, I will look at it from a more just creative point of view. I felt like it was, and it may be slightly lacking in terms of the consistency and emotional impact a bit. And maybe it's a unfair comparison to make. But, you know, when I came out of Pink, which is also about like women's empowerment, I was like shaken. And even though creatively I had a lot of issues with Pink and the way they did certain things, it had that impact with me. Like this is what women have to go through on a regular basis, and that's scary. This film didn't quite have that same kind of impact with me. It was a bit too in your face, I think, was the reason why. And it made me feel less connected to the characters individually. But overall, still a very good movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, I feel like, I don't know, I can't make the comparison to something like Pink, because I feel like with Pink, it's like a true movie with a climax and like a, you know, like it's like a story that unravels with a court case. Like there's just like a lot of like volatility in the way that story unfolds. This felt like very much like a, like we're just showing you the state of affairs.
Yeah.
Not really saying any resolution. Like I thought the end was a bit unsatisfying. Like I just, like I like that they didn't try to conclude, but I also was not totally satisfied.
Yeah.
So maybe that could have been, like, worked on. But I find it hard to, like, really compare it to, like, something like Pink. It's very much, like, I don't think it was even meant to be, like, relatable as much as, like, by the way, these characters exist in life.
Fair enough. Cool. That is all I had planned for the show, but I know you really want to talk about Kangana. So.
No, I'm good. I don't have any. I was like, just before this, but I'm actually Kangana'd out. So I'm like not gonna comment on it any further. I just do too much. Like I was watching like Aapki Adalat for like the longest time.
Yeah.
And it was just too much drama. And now I'm done with it. I've watched every interview of hers, and I'm tired and exhausted. So yeah, I don't think I can really discuss that controversy any further.
Cool. On that note, thank you so much for being here, Mansha.
Thank you, Pesh. I hope you get some sleep soon.
Yes, I will. Don't worry.
All right. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. That was our show and hope you enjoyed it. You know what I'm about to say next, but I'm going to say it anyway. Please subscribe to Bollywood Weekly on iTunes using the podcast app or on SoundCloud, either on the web or using the app available on iOS and on Android. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The links are in the description. And please do spread the word and let us know what you think in the comments, if there's anything you want to see us doing differently or anything you want to see more of. We will be happy to take all your feedback. And if you want to just share your views about what you think about these movies, we will be happy to feature those as well. See you next week.